This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, February 14th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Happy Valentine's Day to all. A lot to do, as always. We're going to start, though, with the Linsanity that has not only swept New York and the nation, but frankly has swept the world. Jeremy Lin named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. No surprise there. He was off the charts in virtually every game. He had one bad half, the second half against Minnesota on back-to-backs, but still managed to hit the game-winning foul shot with 4.9 seconds left. I've looked at a lot of this prior YouTube stuff that you might be familiar with. There's one out there with Jeremy Lin killing John Wall in the Summer League game 2 years ago. I watched some of the Harvard-UConn highlights where Jeremy Lin got 30. It's very interesting because everybody seems to know he at least had a chance or would be an NBA favorite. And it's amazing now. Bill Musselman, his D-League coach, said, yeah, I knew he could play in the league. Mark Jackson, the coach of Golden State, who was not the coach of Golden State last year when they cut him, by the way, said, oh, he's a 10-year NBA player. To me, it's more about how he almost slipped through the cracks than it is about how good he is. Again, you watch these tapes from college 2, 3, 4 years ago, from the Summer League 2 years ago. You see the same things you're seeing now. But he did do it in New York, which is, of course, the biggest stage. And he did light up the Lakers for 38, which, you know, the Lakers are a bad road team this year, and they played horribly. But he still did it against the Lakers as opposed to, you know, the Nets. And all of that has now combined to make him, correctly, of course, the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I couldn't even tell you who the Western Conference Player of the Week is, and that's probably the point. But this kid's a big-time player. You know, now the worry in New York is Stoudemire comes back tonight. Carmelo's coming back in another game or two. Will they be able to coexist? Blah, blah, blah. But this guy's a true point guard. I think he shot more these last five games in addition to not having Carmelo and Stoudemire in the lineup. Frankly, they let him shoot. I mean, the Lakers let him shoot 15-foot jumpers at the beginning of that game. And he made most of them. Then when they came out to get him, he went right around them because he's more than NBA quick. Whatever film, whatever highlights you watch of him, the first thing you notice is how quick he is. And, of course, he's got no fear. So it's very interesting. Stoudemire returns tonight. They're playing the Raptors in Toronto. The Raptors, not very good. They had a lead on the Lakers very late. Then Kobe did what Kobe does and hit a jumper to win the game. So the Knicks have a pretty easy schedule coming up. They play the Raptors tonight, and that's 7 o'clock on Eastern on MSG. If you get MSG, again, I'm told MSG goes to a lot of parts in the country now. Doesn't go to Manhattan in New York City where you're having a big cable TV dispute with Time Warner. But it goes to a lot of places throughout the country. If you have MSG and you haven't seen this kid play, you want to watch him play just because he's a pure point. He's shooting more than he normally would, but so what? Here comes Amari, who's great in the pick and roll with Steve Nash all those years in Phoenix. And now he'll have a chance to revitalize that aspect of his career. Remember, Stoudemire was an MVP last year, the first 30 games of the year. He might have been the MVP of the league before Carmelo showed up. So Carmelo is saying he's going to have no problems playing with Jeremy Lin. And believe me, if the Knicks go on a losing streak when Carmelo comes back, he'll be the bad guy, not Jeremy Lin. So there's a real upside to the Knicks. Can Jeremy Lin keep it up? Well, we'll have to see if he's going to get tired. He was definitely dead at the end of that Minnesota game. But again, that was on back-to-backs after the wackiest week, arguably, in NBA history, at least regular season history. But after Toronto tonight, the Knicks have 5 home games, the Kings and the Hornets. They do play the Mavs in a nationally televised game, the Nets again, and then the Hawks, who are an up-and-down team. So there's a huge upside here for the Knicks, who have already won 5 in a row, to win 6, 7, 8, then they play the Mavs. You know, they can win 10 of 11, 9 of 11, 11 of 11. You just don't know. But again, How many times Carmelo shoots, I don't think is a function of Carmelo. Because he's not going to have the ball in his hands coming across the mid-court line. You know Lynn's going to get it to him if he's open. You know they're going to run the pick and roll with Stoudemire. You see how it's worked with other guys who are not Stoudemire. Tyson Chandler, you don't compare him to Stoudemire as an offensive player. They're going to have to find time for Steve Novak, according to Jeff Van Gundy, before the Jeremy Lin stuff. The best shooter in the NBA. Give Van Gundy credit for that. And Novak's been unbelievable. I think they should give Tony Douglas minutes instead of Mike Bibby. I mean, Mike Bibby was terrible when he went to Miami last year, and he's been terrible this year with the Knicks. Tony Douglas can at least defend a little. But I think you're going to have a rotation now of maybe nine guys. Hopefully Landry Fields can stay Landry Fields. If you don't follow the Knicks, Landry Fields was great at the beginning of the year last year. The find of the draft, second-round draft pick out of Stanford. And then once Anthony showed up, he just lost his confidence. Landry Fields never saw the ball. Really, frankly, fell off a cliff as a basketball player. Yet he was playing pretty well before Jeremy Lin got all these minutes, and now he's been playing great since Jeremy Lin got all these minutes. Obviously, it's a lot about confidence. But Fields has to keep playing at a high level. Novak has to get time. He's a deadly open three-shooter. Not real good off the dribble, but deadly catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. And with a guy like Lin at the point, you're going to get a lot of open threes. In fact, when Carmelo and Stoudemire are back, I think he'll get even more. He may not get as much playing time, but he's going to get even more open threes. Because who are you doubling? You're taking the ball out of Lin's hands? You doubling Carmelo? You doubling Stoudemire? Whoever it is, those other two guys are going to be open. One of them for at least 15 minutes a game should be Novak. So we'll see. There's a big upside to New York. New York at 13-15. Think about that. They were 8-15 with the Carmelo Amari show and no point guard. Now they're 13-15, and as it is in the East, they're in the eighth playoff spot already. And they're the only sub-500 team in the playoffs, but you have to think the Knicks' arrow is going to be pointing up. And again, with a pretty weak schedule, Toronto, the Kings, the Hornets, then the Mavs, one exception, the Nets, and then the Hawks, two exceptions. But with a pretty weak schedule, you'd be shocked if they're worse than 4-2. And you can expect them to win one of those games and be 5-1. And who knows, the way they gutted out that Minnesota win, Minnesota's a pretty good team. The way they gutted out that Minnesota win, maybe they go 6-0 in the next six games. You just don't know. That's the question factor with Jeremy Lin, but it's not can he play in the league or not. That's a joke. He can absolutely play in the league. And again, apparently a lot of people said it. He just didn't get his chance. Paint this picture. Baron Davis doesn't get hurt. You might have never seen Jeremy Lin in New York. It's just one of those strange things. And we can talk about scouting and the tens of millions of dollars that these professional teams play, but you see pay for scouting. But you see Victor Cruz in the NFL this year, and you see Jeremy Lin in the NBA this year. Victor Cruz set the all-time Giants receiving record. How do these guys slip through the cracks? And again, some of it is their size. I think some of it is the fact that Jeremy Lin is an Asian American and went to Harvard. I'm guessing inwardly people wouldn't say anything, but they're looking at the guy sideways when he shows up. But it's very evident very quickly how athletic he is, how quick he is. And again, he's 6'3", 200 pounds. He's not 5'11", 160. So it's very, very interesting. A lot's been going on. I just hope the kid gets enough rest because he was done in the second half of Minnesota. And when you go from not playing to playing tons of minutes, again, I think they should bring Tony Douglas in even for 10, 12 minutes a game. I don't think Mike Bibby is really the answer. Shumpert at the point wasn't the answer. Think of everything that had to happen. Tony Douglas had to not play well. Mike Bibby had to not play well. Shumpert had to prove he's not a point guard. And then I think the biggest one, Baron Davis was hurt at the beginning of the year, and when he was coming back, he got hurt again. Again, Jeremy Lin might have never been off the bench if he got cut again. And even Mike D'Antoni said they were, you know, he almost did. If he got cut again, he'd be cut from three NBA teams. So it's very, very interesting. But I find the interesting part now, not how good he is. It's obvious how good he is. but how it almost didn't happen. To me, that's as big a story as it did happen. Because, again, you watch the guy play, you can tell in 5 minutes he's really good. Not at the level he's played at, but just in general, he's an NBA player. I think Mark Jackson's right. His numbers can go down. He's still a 10-year NBA player. So Linsanity returns tonight in Toronto, 7 o'clock Eastern, MSG. Stoudemire returns for the Knicks, so if you're a Knicks fan, that's a huge thing as well. And plus, the kid's a very humble kid. I mean, it's really interesting stuff. He went up to Little Hamilton College in upstate New York this past weekend with his parents to watch his brother, who's a freshman basketball player at Hamilton, a D3 school, play like 6 minutes. I mean, you got to love that. The whole sleeping on his other brother's couch in the East Village, not the best place in the world to live. I mean, it's a fascinating story and fantastic. But I'll say it again. To me, the bigger story is, were there other Jeremy Lins in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, or Victor Cruzes, or baseball players, or hockey players that you just never heard of? I think there are. You can't prove it, because if Lin had never played, who would say that Lin could have done what he did? Some people would say, oh, I knew he could play in the league as a backup point guard 12 minutes a game. But nobody on the planet could say he was going to do what he's done. And again, for him, to me, obviously, this is only the beginning. So good for him, good for the NBA, good for the Knicks, but good for basketball in general. And I'll say it again, because a lot of people don't want to say it, the stereotyping, maybe even the racism to some degree, kind of pushed to the side here. But the next Asian-American kid who can run, be fast, play basketball, he's going to be looked at differently. I don't care what anyone says because of Jeremy Lin. In fact, the bigger question is, are people going to look to the end of the bench and say, man, why don't I, I'm not even just in the pros, college, high school, travel teams. Are they going to look to the end of the bench and say, man, maybe I should give that kid a chance? I think it'll have some ripple effect, if you will, on a number of areas. Maybe Ivy League players, maybe Asian American players, but maybe just the general kid at the bench who's shown flashes at times. I mean, it seems that he wasn't a great practice player, Jeremy Lin. Or maybe he wasn't great in the game when it's a 20 or 25 point game, but throw him in the deep water, this guy's swimming easily. It's very, very interesting. But I think just by what he's done, I think people, even just bench warmers in general, are going to be looked at a little differently. You show a flash of brilliance in a game or even in a practice, maybe someone will say, man, maybe I should give that kid a chance. It's very interesting. And again, nobody's going to come out and say it, but you'll never convince me that when an Asian-American kid from Harvard walks on an NBA summer league court or into an NBA game, that the initial reaction is, how can this guy play? And that's actually an advantage for a kid like Jeremy Lin, who can play. Again, I don't know if it'll be verbalized. I don't know if anybody will admit it. But I find that a fascinating part of the story as well. Because this guy is obviously a legit NBA player. I think Mark Jackson's right. I think this kid plays 10 years in the league at least. And he's going to be an international star, not just a national star. He's going to be an international star. Yao Ming's one of his buddies. Yao Ming, of course, forced to retire this year. But Yao Ming is not a Chinese-American like Jeremy Lin is. And Jeremy Lin is smart, and I don't mean Harvard smart. Good for him. He's book smart. He's Harvard smart. But his basketball IQ is off the charts. So we'll see what happens. It's a very exciting time in New York. It's a very exciting time for the Garden, and it's a very exciting time for the NBA. This is the Steve Callis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL. But first, a few Major League Baseball notes. Johan Santana, the Mets ace who missed all of the 2011 season, stated he expects to throw off a mound either Thursday or Friday of this week for the first time. He had that shoulder surgery back in 2010. But missed the entire season, was trying to get back for the end of last season, and then ran into some problems. Now he's back throwing again, and again hopes to throw off the mound. The Mets' only chance to be maybe competitive in the NL East, which is going to be just a nasty division this year. You know, between everything that the Marlins did, Reyes being the main one, everything that the Nationals did, and it looks like Bryce Harper might be up this year. The Braves are still a very good team. And, of course, the Phillies are, at least on paper, the best team in baseball with the best pitching. The Mets' only chance if they can drop a number one like Santana back into their rotation, that's what they need. No guarantees, of course, but he's expecting to throw off a mound at the end of this week. And I think that's the Mets' one hope. If they don't have him as a healthy starter, they're going to be in a lot of trouble in the NL East, which arguably might be the best division in baseball come the 2012 baseball season. Teams starting to report all this week and next week, of course. But Santana is a huge story for the Mets. And frankly, for baseball, when he's on and he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. The Oakland A's wind up signing Yoenis Cespedes, who was that Cuban defector and unbelievably slugging outfielder. He signs a four-year contract for $36 million with Oakland and immediately becomes the highest-paid player on the Oakland Athletics. Not sure why he chose to go there. You know, maybe it's a sheer money thing. Don't know how Oakland could be the highest bidder for him, but Cespedes, who hit 33 home runs in the Cuban League last year, which is the highest amount ever, and is supposed to be ready to step right in and play in the majors, he's going to play with Oakland this year. Still some interesting free agents out there. Derek Lee, Maglio Ordonez, Roy Oswalt, who flirted with the Cardinals but didn't sign with them, Javi Vasquez. Those are probably the four biggest name, could be had this week, free agents who are on the market. So we'll have to see if anybody scoops them up. But now the time is coming, obviously. You know, the Angels have already made their changes. They signed Albert Pujols to that 10-year deal. They signed C.J. Wilson, 5 years, $77 million, away from Texas. Texas decided to sign that Yu Darvish, the top pitcher from Japan who's coming in. They gave him a $56 million contract after paying $51 million just to negotiate with him. What a racket that is for the teams in the Japanese league. But I guess you shouldn't be allowed to raid those leagues. But to pay $51 million to talk to a guy who is unproven just strikes me as absurd. But that's the way it is. Teams are reporting. Things are starting to get going. We'll keep an eye on all of that early in the spring training. But a lot depends on the health of a lot of guys, and you still might be able to go out. I think Oswalt can still pitch. He was hurt last year. I think Javi Vasquez is in the right situation, probably National League, frankly, could pitch. Maglio Ordonez seemed hurt to me all last year. Derek Lee is a big bat, a feast or famine guy, but certainly he can help somebody. So those four free agents still out there in Major League Baseball as the teams start to report this week and next week. A few things in the National Football League. Freddie Solomon, former 49ers wide receiver, mainly 49ers, Dolphins for a little bit, died of cancer at the age of 59. Played 11 seasons in the league, 75 to 85. A lot of people are now saying, you know, a better guy than he even was a football player, and he was a pretty good wide receiver, especially for the 49ers. That's certainly who I remember him with. But Freddie Solomon, 59 years old, dies of cancer in his native Tampa, University of Tampa graduate, who again went on to a very fine 11-year NFL career. The franchise tag was officially put on DeSean Jackson by the Philadelphia Eagles, which means Jackson will get, I think it's the average of the top three or the top five people at his position, so he's going to make real money this year. But, of course, not what he wanted. I heard John Clayton on ESPN talking about other teams who might franchise other star players, like New Orleans might wind up franchise tagging Drew Brees if they can't come to a long-term agreement with Brees, Wes Welker maybe for the Patriots. They obviously have to keep him. Matt Forte with the Bears. Even Mario Williams with the Texans. All those guys might be franchised in the not-too-distant future. I think the date is March 13th that you have to franchise a guy down by. But the Eagles have already done that with DeSean Jackson, and we'll just see what happens with the rest of these star players in the NFL. With respect to Peyton Manning, there's been no meeting yet between Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts. Manning is working out at Duke trying to get his throwing arm in shape. There is no meeting scheduled yet. Some people thought it would be this week. It has to be soon. Again, that March 8th date is coming up quickly. Most people, and I agree totally, most people think the Colts have already laid the groundwork to walk away from Manning. They have the number one pick. Irsay has said they're going to draft a quarterback, and now he's tried to be a little coy between Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III of Baylor, who won the Heisman. But Andrew Luck is viewed by most, not all, but by most, to be a can't-miss next superstar, could be the next Peyton Manning, blah, blah, blah. Mel Kiper Jr. said he was the best player in the draft by far today when he did a quarterback's analysis, but he said best player, not best quarterback by far. So Andrew Luck will probably be drafted by the Colts. Hard to give Peyton Manning $28 million, not 100% yet, coming off three neck surgeries, 36 years old. Hard to give him $28 million by March 8th, and I think that's the view, frankly, the way it is right now. So there hasn't been a meeting yet. There should be either the end of this week or next week, but I think at the end of the day it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts saying goodbye to Peyton Manning and hello to Andrew Luck. Very interesting stuff. Randy Moss had some quotes now that he, had some family things going on last year, and that's why he had to, he was unable to come back and play, but he's ready now. He's had a year off. Chris Carter said he's never been seriously hurt. He can still run. So if that's true, that he can still run, that's the big question mark. If Randy Moss is still a deep threat, he can help a lot of teams. And the teams that John Clayton mentioned were like the Jets. If Plaxico doesn't go back, Plaxico's not a deep threat. To me, they're two different receivers. The Ravens, which is interesting. Again, I wouldn't count the Patriots out. I think the Patriots were prepared to sign Randy Moss for a year, and they certainly hurt themselves by not having a deep threat. And I'll say it again, even if Randy Moss is a decoy, certainly at the beginning of the year, you got to send two guys with Randy Moss every time he splits out wide. And if they don't, and he catches a few long passes early, well, then, you've hit the jackpot if you're the team that signs him. So I'll have to keep an eye on that. I think Randy Moss can still help somebody. I think he can help an NFL team next season. But we'll just have to wait and see. Certainly he's saying all the right things. And some people tried to compare it to Terrell Owens, who did not get a contract this past year, but Terrell Owens was coming off a torn ACL. Or I think he went to Europe to have some treatment done that's not allowed in the United States. And he certainly looked good. If you remember seeing those workouts on TV, they showed tape of his workouts. He certainly looked good. Obviously, it's far different from moving from a workout to an NFL game. But Owens is not the same as Randy Moss. Again, as Chris Carter pointed out, Moss has never been seriously hurt. And he can still run. So if those two things are true, that he's not hurt and he can still run, well, I think someone's going to take a chance on Randy Moss before they'll take a chance on Terrell Owens. But we'll also have to wait and see, obviously, what's going to happen with that. In the NBA now, Eric Gordon, who was part of that Chris Paul deal, he will undergo knee surgery today for his bad knee. He was hurt the first game of the year. Of course, he was one of the key cogs in the Chris Paul deal. And, of course, New Orleans has been terrible. Gordon played the first game of the year, got hurt, and that's been it. He's going to be out another 6 weeks after his surgery today. So it's going to be kind of a lost season for him, and the New Orleans Hornets, frankly, are just not, they're just not very good. But we'll keep an eye on that as well. I guess the Hornets put a lot of stock, and the NBA wanted to give the Hornets a good young guard. You recall they canceled the deal with the Lakers because they didn't have any young players. They certainly, obviously, the NBA running the Hornets now, obviously they didn't know Gordon would get hurt right away. But Eric Gordon is going to be a very good NBA point guard. But certainly not for the next 6 weeks as he recovers from the knee surgery that he will be having today. Let's switch to the NBA now. A number of interesting games yesterday in the NBA. The Clippers go down to Dallas to play the Mavericks. The Mavericks 96, the Clippers 92. Dallas moves to 18-11. The Clippers drop to 17-9. Dirk Nowitzki with 22 points for Dallas, but 11 in the final 6 minutes. He was only 5-for-15 from the field. But he was good for them late when they needed him to be good, including a huge three down the stretch, 22 points, 7 rebounds for Dirk. Kenyon Martin now playing for the Clippers, 10 points, 3 rebounds off the bench. He's going to be a big help to them. You know, when you get past Griffin and Paul, you want to see who they have. They have DeAndre Jordan, who's a good rebounder, 9 rebounds in 20 minutes last night. They have Caron Butler, who's a good player, 23 points, 8 rebounds last night. And now they add Kenyon Martin, who I like a lot, just probably getting his legs, frankly, underneath him from coming back from China. But yesterday, Martin had 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 blocks. I think he can be a key. If you're looking at who's going to go into that top level, I think the Clippers with just Griffin and Paul are borderline. But I think if you throw in Caron Butler playing well, DeAndre Jordan, a solid rebounder that very few people know, and now Kenyon Martin, well, I think they have a chance to be a very, very good team come playoff time. As for the Mavericks, Nowitzki 22-7, Sean Marion 16 points, 3 assists, West off the bench with 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, Jason Terry, 31 minutes, only 9 points, 4-for-12, didn't have a good day. But, again, I think Dallas is just going to come up short. I think the Clippers are going to go farther than the Mavericks. I understand they're a championship team now, and they have a bunch of guys who know how to win because they won last year. But I'll say it again. I thought Tyson Chandler was the difference, and J.J. Barea, but Tyson Chandler on the defensive end was the difference between what Dallas was those 5 or 6 years before last year and the difference between last year and this year. Dallas has always had a good team with good talent, deep, good skill players. Dirk has been the man. But they never had that defensive stopper, and they had him last year, but he's with the Knicks now. So Dallas, I think, will have a good season, but I don't see them as a championship threat. I see the Clippers as more of a championship threat, frankly. But yesterday in Dallas, Dallas 96, Clippers 92. Butler with 23 points for the Clippers, 8 rebounds. Blake Griffin, the human highlight film, 20.7 rebounds. Chris Paul, 16, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. Again, they have a very good team, the Clippers. But Dallas gets the win yesterday, Dallas 96, Clippers 92. Another interesting game, the Timberwolves, who I also think are an up-and-coming team. But they go down to Orlando. They lost a tough game to the Knicks over the weekend. They go down to Orlando to play the Magic. And the Magic, over their funk from like 10 days ago where they just literally couldn't score. I mean, they'd go a half and score, you know, 22 points or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous what happened. But now Orlando scoring again. They beat the Timberwolves in Orlando. Magic 102, Timberwolves 89. Jason Richardson has stepped it up a bit for Orlando. Yesterday is the high scorer with only 17 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. But Orlando, more of a team game, if you will. They had 6 guys in double figures. Dwight Howard, only 27 minutes, 11 points, 7 rebounds. He had a lot of foul trouble. But they have a bunch of other guys who can score. Jameer Nelson, 14.6 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Turkoglu, 14.6 rebounds, 6 assists. Anderson, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Howard, as we said, 11-7. J.J. Redick off the bench, 14 points, 4 rebounds. So I think Orlando has a good team as well. Again, I don't think they're a championship threat. I don't even know if Dwight Howard will be there past the trade deadline. Right now it looks like Orlando's sticking their heels in, asking for the sun, the moon, and the stars, and I don't think they're going to move Howard until the trade deadline, if then. But remember, if they don't, there's a good chance they'll get LeBron'd And getting LeBron means we leave and you get nothing from me when I leave. When LeBron left Cleveland, Cleveland hoping against hope that he would stay, got nothing. If the Magic management is hoping against hope that Dwight Howard will stay and he doesn't, well, they'll get LeBron. They'll get nothing. But yesterday, Magic 102, Timberwolves 89, Kevin Love, human double-double, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists as well. Pekovic, the other big man, who's very good, 16 points, 13 rebounds. Ricky Rubio, 11 points, 8 assists. Michael Beasley, a very talented player coming off the bench, 13 points, 2 rebounds. And J.J. Barea, another talented player coming off the bench, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Magic 102, Minnesota 89. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion, and now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more NBA games to get to. Miami goes to up to Milwaukee last night. Milwaukee, not a very good team. They have some talent, but not a 500 team. But they had already beaten the Heat twice this year. But yesterday, Miami gets some revenge. Miami 114. The Bucks 96 in Milwaukee. Milwaukee drops to 12-16. Miami moves up to 22-7. LeBron James, 35 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Dwayne Wade, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Chris Bosh, only 8 points, but 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Chalmers, 13 points. The point guard, who's a pretty good player now. Cole off the bench, the backup point guard, 10 points. The Heat had trouble with the Bucks. The Bucks have a nice team, but, you know, they don't have Bogut now. He's out with an injury. Carlos Delfino, very good player, 24 points, 4 assists. Dwight Gooden, 12 points. Jennings, the point guard, 12 points, 4 assists. But the Heat get a little revenge on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Heat now 22-7. And again, I think there are very few challengers for an NBA title this year. And I think really the only one in the East is the Miami Heat. One other game to look at, well, a few other NBA games we want to talk about for a little bit. The Suns go out to Golden State. Now, you know the story with Golden State. They had Jeremy Lin on their roster last year. He played in like 27 games sparingly, was eventually cut. Now, they have Monte Ellis and Steph Curry. But why he couldn't hang out as the third guard, I don't know. You can't blame Mark Jackson. He was not the coach last year. He was not around. I don't know if Jackson said he could be a 10-year NBA player now to, like, throw salt on the wound. But yesterday, Golden State 102, Phoenix 96. I think Golden State is going the right way. And Phoenix, even though Nash is playing at an all-star caliber, I don't think they're really going to be that good. Their big man, Marcin Gortat, for Phoenix, 25 points, 12 rebounds. I remember interviewing Brendan Malone, an assistant with Orlando last year, and he said this guy was a really good player. But he was backing up Dwight Howard, and of course they lost him in the in free agency. But for Golden State, David Lee having a very good year, 28 points, 12 rebounds. Monte Ellis, 18 points, 7 rebounds. Steph Curry, only 9 points, but 7 rebounds and 5 assists as well. Robinson off the bench with 11. Thompson off the bench with 10 for Golden State. They move to 11-14. Phoenix drops to 12-16. In addition to Gortat's 25-12, Channing Frye, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Steve Nash, only 7 points, but 14 assists and 3 rebounds. Grant Hill, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Still a good stat compiler. Obviously not what he once was, but 10-5-5 in 34 minutes, not too bad. But Golden State gets the job done. Golden State, 102. Phoenix Suns, 96. A couple other games to mention briefly. The 76ers beat the hapless Bobcats, 98-89. Philly moves to 20-9. Lou Williams leads them with 23. The Bobcats drop to 3-25. Corey Maggette, 22 points. Boris Diaw with 10 assists. But the Bobcats, you know, Paul Silas said it best, you need talent to win in this league, and we don't really have the talent. One other game, the Hornets at home get a rare win against the Utah Jazz. Hornets 86, Jazz 80. Hornets move up to 5-23. The Jazz drop to 14-13. Chris Kaman playing for the Hornets, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Very good game for him. Derek Favors led the Jazz with 14 points. The Hornets get a rare win over the Jazz, 86-80. A few college basketball games to look at, a few top 25 games. The most interesting, I thought, which turned out to be a very interesting game, more a defensive battle, frankly. Syracuse, number 2 Syracuse, going down to Kentucky to play Louisville, number 24 Louisville in Louisville. Syracuse ekes out a 52-51 victory. Now, Syracuse couldn't have played much worse, in my opinion. Now, after the game, Boeheim said, oh, it was our defense. Our defense was fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying it wasn't, but just to give you an example, Scoop Jardine, their star point guard, 0-for-8 from the field, no points. He did have 5 assists and 5 rebounds, but when your point guard, who is a scorer, doesn't score on the road, I think you're in trouble. But Chris Joseph, only 7 points. Trish, only 8 points. C.J. Fair actually came off the bench and led the team in scoring with 13. They only had one other guy in double figures, Thad Mello, with 11 points and 6 rebounds. But Syracuse scored the final 6 points of the game. Louisville obviously had their own problem scoring. Bohannon was their high scorer with 16. Peyton Siva, who, if you saw the highlights, took a lot of grief from head coach Rick Pitino, 8 points, 4 assists, but he had 5 turnovers. Not a very good game for Louisville, a game they could have won. But Louisville still 20-6, still nationally ranked, still a good team. Syracuse 26-1, ranked 2nd in the country. And Boeheim, after the game, really did praise his defense, which, of course, he had to praise because he certainly couldn't praise their offense. They won the game defensively on the road, a good win for Syracuse. Syracuse 52, Louisville 51. Another top 25 game, number 6 Baylor, who really is having trouble beating the good teams, but is still a very good team in their own right. Baylor at home, 79 over Iowa State, 64. Perry Jones III, you might have read that cover story in the New York Times Magazine last year. If you don't, you want to read that, an interesting story on Perry Jones. Yesterday he has 18 points and 7 rebounds to lead Baylor in both categories. Miller with 16, Jones with 12, AC with 11. The other scorers in double figures. Iowa State, Ejim led the team with 17, White with 14. But Baylor, 22-4, 79. Iowa State, 18-8 now, 64. The interesting thing for Baylor, of course, they're 0-4 against top 10 teams and 22-0 against everybody else, which means to me they're not quite there. They beat the teams they should beat, but against the best in the country, obviously, they struggle. That doesn't mean they can't make a run in the tournament, but again, they're going to have to meet up with a top team at some point. Baylor 79, Iowa State 64. One other top 25 game of note, Kansas going on the road to Manhattan to play Kansas State, to Manhattan, Kansas, I should say, to play Kansas State. Kansas 59, Kansas State 53. Tyshawn Taylor, 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds for Kansas, hitting all kinds of acrobatic threes and moves to the basket. But I thought the star of the game was Jeff Withey. If you've watched him lately, runs the floor well, very good inside player. Yesterday, 18 points, 11 rebounds, and arguably most importantly, 9 blocks for Kansas. Kansas ranked 7th in the country now, 21-5. For Kansas State, Samuels led the team with 20. Magruder had 12. Spradling had 10. Kansas State drops to 17-8. I think they should be ranked. I think they're a pretty good team. But yesterday, Kansas goes to Manhattan, Kansas, and beats Kansas State, Kansas 59, Kansas State 53. couple of quick notes on the whole Jerry Sandusky matter. He was given the right to visit most of his grandchildren with adult supervision. I mean, this is really a messed up deal. His former daughter-in-law, Jill Thomas, has filed an affidavit that said Sandusky inappropriately touched her 5-year-old son. And I assume that means former daughter-in-law, that she's since been divorced. So she's made allegations against Sandusky. Apparently they were taken to the authorities and were not viewed to be solid enough to put into the grand jury presentment against Sandusky. You'll remember there were those 8 victims named. Well, not named. They were listed as numbers and things that were done to them. Jill Thomas's son was not one of them. But Sandusky can now meet with most of his and visit most of his grandchildren, not all of them. Apparently, obviously, at least this one, Jill Thomas's 5-year-old son. Also on the Tim Curley matter, Curley, you'll recall, was the AD at the time. Since relieved of his duties, I don't know that he was fired. I think he chose to retire. They've made a motion to dismiss his indictment because Joe Paterno's testimony, which, of course, is what he told Curley about the whole Sandusky in the shower with that 10-year-old kid, now because Paterno has died, Curley won't have a chance to cross-examine Paterno. They're trying to get rid of that indictment. I don't think that's going to work, frankly. But this is now all the legal wrangling that's going on. I think the case, and look, it's still an important case, but obviously, and I hate to say it this way, but when Joe Paterno dies, as even though Sandusky is alleged to have done all these terrible crimes, the focus was often, and this is wrong, but this is how it is, the focus was often on Joe Paterno. Now that Joe Paterno has passed away, well, I think he'll be involved, or what he did, what he was told, that will be involved in terms of the Curley case, certainly. I don't think it'll have anything really to do with the Sandusky case. There might be a few lawsuits, again, where Penn State is named and maybe Paterno or his estate now will be named. But I think a lot of the story nationally was viewed to be people trying to, frankly, indict Joe Paterno. And look, you know the story. Joe Paterno did what he was supposed to do under the letter of the law, but a lot of people, and I agree, are very surprised that he didn't follow up, that he didn't ask the name of the kid, that he didn't find out the kid was okay, that he never followed up to see if this guy was getting charged. But again, you're talking about someone who's passed away now, an icon for sure, but someone who's passed away, so I just don't know that this will have the, I don't know if juice is the right word, but if this may not have the national attention that it would have gotten had Joe Paterno lived, rightly or wrongly now. I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff is, I don't want to say blown out of proportion because these are serious alleged crimes against little kids, but what Paterno did was, again, right under the letter of the law, but wrong, I think, for most people under the moral obligation he should have had, especially given their success with honor credo. We'll keep an eye on the Sandusky trial and the Curley trial as it moves forward. Switch to the NHL. A few games in the NHL yesterday. Carolina goes up to Montreal to play the Canadiens. Carolina 5, Montreal 3. Eric Staal with 2 goals for Carolina, his 15th and 16th of the year. Jamie McBain with his 5th on an assist from Eric Staal for Carolina. For the Canadiens, Carolina took a 2-0 lead, then the Canadiens came back with 3 in the last 9 minutes of the second period, but then Carolina scored 3 in the third to win it. But for the Canadiens, Eric Cole scored his 21st, Tomas Pekanec scored his 12th, David Desjardins scored his 11th, but Carolina 5, Montreal 3, a good win for the Hurricanes on the road in Montreal. San Jose comes across the country to play Washington to play the Caps. San Jose 5, Washington Capitals 3. Capitals had to bring up Braden Holtby from the American Hockey League to start the game, but he had a bad game. Joe Pavelski scores the first 2 goals for San Jose, his 21st and 22nd of the year. Patrick Marleau gives San Jose a 3-goal lead with his 21st of the year. And frankly, Washington really couldn't get back into the game. Marleau later scored his 22nd. The Capitals scored too late to make it 5-3, but really never threatened in the game. San Jose Sharks 5, Washington Capitals 3. One other game to take a look at. Phoenix goes up to Vancouver to play the Canucks, and Roberto Luongo has one of those good Roberto Luongo games. Vancouver beats Phoenix 2-1 in a shootout. David Booth scores his 10th. Vancouver, Keith Yandles ties up the game with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left in the game, forcing a shootout. And the Canucks finally win the shootout on a final goal by Ryan Kessler. Vancouver 2, Phoenix 1. And again, that's in a shootout. So as you know, Phoenix gets a point, Vancouver gets 2 points. In the new NHL, you can get 3 points in a game. Want to go to the TV for tonight. Lots of stuff on TV. Again, to me, the national headliner, if you get MSG, it's the Knicks up in Toronto to play the Raptors, 7 o'clock Eastern. The Jeremy Lin show continues. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. Again, if you go back and look at these things, and I remember seeing Lin play against Cornell a couple of years ago when Cornell was really good when they went to the Sweet 16. And you could see then he had no fear in NBA quickness. I didn't know that he had the shooting ability, and I think that's still a question mark, although he shot pretty well, other than the second half against the Timberwolves when I think he just ran out of gas, frankly. But tonight, Knicks at the Raptors, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG Network. If you can get to a sports bar, if you're not in the New York area, frankly, again, if you live in Manhattan and you had Time Warner Cable, you can't get MSG, which is a disgrace. But it's been like that all year. But find a TV where they do get MSG. And if you're outside of New York, MSG is in a lot of places around the country. Knicks at Raptors, MSG Network, 7 o'clock Eastern. An NBA doubleheader on the NBA channel. The Heat at the Pacers, 7 o'clock Eastern. The Wizards at the Trailblazers, 10 o'clock Eastern. Again, I don't know who picks these games, but the Wizards going on the road. You want to watch John Wall, but that's certainly not a great game to televise. But those are the three NBA games. Knicks at Raptors, 7 o'clock Eastern, MSG. NBA channel, Heat at Pacers, 7 Eastern. Wizards at Trailblazers, 10 Eastern. Of course, that's 7 o'clock out in Portland. A number of NHL games on tonight as well. The Ducks at the Minnesota Wild, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on the NBC Sports Network, formerly Versus, as we've discussed. If you do get MSG, on MSG2, the Rangers at the Bruins. The Rangers, with the second highest point total in hockey, go up to Boston to play the defending Stanley Cup champions Bruins in an original six match. Always a good game. That's 7 o'clock Eastern. Devils at the Buffalo Sabres. That's 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG+. And now with the Knicks and Raptors, both Knicks and Rangers both playing on the same night, they even have MSG plus 2 Islanders out in Winnipeg to play the Jets. That's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Again, if you get that MSG group of stations, there's a basketball game and 3 hockey games on tonight. College basketball tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, SNY. That's the Mets Network. If you get that somewhere, St. John's at Seton Hall. Seton Hall having a very good year. St. John's has decided to just play their freshmen the rest of the year. Coach Lavin's still not back yet. Seton Hall, I think, is a tournament team. St. John's at Seton Hall, 7 o'clock Eastern on SNY. On ESPN, Florida at Alabama, 7 o'clock Eastern. Texas A&M at Texas Tech on ESPN2, 7 o'clock Eastern. Virginia at Clemson on ESPNU, also 7 o'clock Eastern. 8 o'clock, Texas at Oklahoma, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YES Network, which is also obviously the Yankee Network, but also national in scope. 9 o'clock, Ohio State, off that loss to Michigan State. Ohio State goes to Minnesota to play Minnesota, 9 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPN. And also Mississippi State at LSU, 9 o'clock Eastern. That's at ESPNU. One final note, in hockey, college hockey, we don't do a lot of that, but the Beanpot Classic up in the Boston Garden, up in that area, always a big tournament. Yesterday, Boston College ranked 3rd in the country, beat number 2 Boston University in the Beanpot final, 3-2 on a goal by Bill Arnold, scored with 6.4 seconds left in the first overtime. That's the third year in a row that Boston College has won the Beanpot final. Again, a huge thing up there in the Boston area. Don't forget, Knicks at Raptors tonight, 7 o'clock. If you can get to a TV that has MSG or the basketball package, don't miss that game. The Jeremy Lin saga continues. We'll talk more about it. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.